Have you taken your spiritual breath today? That breath that you just kind of done that today? I hope this past week has been good for you. I hope that you have witnessed the goodness of the Lord in your life. But probably most of us, very busy, very hectic. And life sometimes becomes a little bit confusing. Life becomes sometimes a little bit crazy. And we have our worries, we have our concerns, we have our troubles, we have our issues. But most importantly, we have God. Therefore, we ought to take that breath. Because with God, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. It's good for us to be here today. Appreciate your being here today. And this morning, we're going to study a little bit about the most beautiful words in the Bible. And by that title, you may already in your mind be thinking of what those words are. But here are the words that I thought of. Love, grace, and mercy. They are, I believe, the three most beautiful words mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, we see all three of these words used. And I want you to notice the reading, and I'll be reading a number of texts this morning, and they will not be on the board, so I invite you to open your Bibles and read with me. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, and here is the reading, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you that are Gentiles were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked in the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them we, Jews, too, all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by habitual practice children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So you see, a very simple commentary on man. Jew and Gentile are all under sin. But God, He demonstrated this love, grace, and mercy through His Son. So this morning, what I'd like to do, I'd like for us to talk about these three words and the beauty of them. And I hope that it will encourage. I hope that it will help you to be able to take that breath if you haven't taken that breath. Because when all is said and done, the things of this life, the material life, is just that. It's material. It will soon vanish. And then all that's really important is our relationship with God. And because of love, grace, and mercy, we have a relationship with God. We have something to hope for, to look forward to, that will not burn up, will not be destroyed or fade away. We look at the word love first. And when we look at that great word, it is a word that has been used many, many times in many, many settings. But we're looking at it from the biblical perspective, and that biblical definition of that word simply means affection. It means charity, as translated in some of the older English translations. It's that goodwill. It's benevolence. And I guess the best way we can understand love is when we read passages like 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, and beginning at verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We are very familiar with that text. But yet, may I suggest to us, while we are to love in this way, this is exactly how God has loved us. So if you want to know about God and His love, here it's presented to us. That's how God has treated us. In fact, when we read in 1 John chapter 4, we read a little bit more about this great love that God has extended to us. Chapter 4, verse 8, "The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So you go through the week and everything is just crazy upside down, and you stop for a moment and you take that deep breath and you just simply remind yourself that God loves you. Other people may not love you. Other people may treat you in a very bad way, but God loves you. And that's really all that's important. This great and awesome love that God has extended to us, Paul described a little bit more in detail in chapter 5 of Romans, beginning at verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. For he says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we have been saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Reconciliation, being made friends again. What made us friends again with God, although we were helpless, although we were ungodly, although we were unrighteous, although we were sinners? God's love. God's love has been extended to us even though we are ornery, even though we have done that which is wrong. He even calls us enemies when we were enemies of God. So, on your worst possible day, on your worst possible week or month or century, realize that when you take that deep spiritual breath, that God loves you anyway. God is just that way. He is so kind and He's so good and He's so benevolent to love us at our worst. Have you ever been at your worst? Maybe you still are. God loves you anyway. I tell you what, that's great news. The gospel is good news. The gospel is to bring salvation to man. And at the very pinnacle of all that we read in Scripture, it's based upon God's love, His goodwill. God is just good. God is just loving, and He is kind, He's benevolent. And He demonstrated that through sending Christ. Secondly, we consider this idea of grace. And simply defined, it just means favor. And when you read the Bible, you find contextually it comes to mean undeserved favor. The word just means favor. But it is used in the Bible to mean that something has been given unto us that we haven't deserved. So when we talk about the word grace, grace is really being given what you don't deserve. When we read in the book of Ephesians, again, chapter 2, Paul continues his comments concerning this great salvation that we have through God. And he says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works that no one should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I'm afraid myself specifically that to combat error in our religious world, we concentrate so much on the works of 9 and the workmanship of 10 that we don't talk enough about 8, and that is we're saved by grace. It's a gift. And that gift is a marvelous gift. We couldn't even begin to give anyone anything that is more gracious, that is more favorable, that is more undeserved than what God gave us. There is absolutely no rhyme or reason why God would extend to us what He extended to us, other than the fact His love was extended through grace. Now, take that deep spiritual breath. We get pretty down on ourselves. We get pretty discouraged. And we become very, very hurt, hardened, bitter, angry, upset with everyone. And we haven't stopped to consider the most beautiful words in the Bible. God's love that has been extended to us through grace. Well, then there's mercy. Mercy just means compassion. Jesus uses the word compassion, mercy, when He talks about forgiveness. So sometimes the words almost seem synonymous. But we also learn that mercy, how it differs from grace, is that mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace and mercy are very close cousins. They're very closely defined similarly. But the difference is grace extends to us what we don't deserve, and mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. And in the passages that we've already read, the wrath of God, we deserve that. But because of God's love, because of His grace, because of His mercy, we will not receive the wrath of God. We will receive His mercy. We will receive His grace. We will receive His love and be saved through Christ. That is a spiritual breath that we all need to take regularly. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we have read this passage, and I want to read it one more time to express to us that we might appreciate what we have in those three great, beautiful words. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." Do you remember who you were? Do you remember how you lived? Do you remember how lost you were? He says, "According to the prince of the power of the air," the devil, "he was in us. He was working through us. Yea, we were working for him. We were his slave." Do you remember back in those days? He says, "According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh." There's not a one of us here today that has reached the age of accountability that has not sinned. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we have all been the devil's servant. "We indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God came into the picture for us, being rich in mercy, rich in compassion, rich in desiring not to give us what we deserve. We deserve to be destroyed. Because of His great love with which He loved, His great benevolence, His goodwill, His charity, His kindness. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. You see, the wages of sin is death. When we sin, even one time, it separates us from God. Now where are we? The disciples asked, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And God made possible salvation for all men through His love, grace, and mercy. That's why they're the three most beautiful words in the entire Bible. That allows you to take a breath. "We were dead in our transgressions. He made us alive together with Christ." We were dead. You bury the dead, but you're raised up, made alive again, made anew again through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You see why we emphasize so many times to everyone that is yet to be baptized into Christ? Because if you've not been baptized into Christ, you're dead as a doornail. But the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God is wanting to raise you up, make you new. "Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Isn't that a beautiful phrase? The fact that we have been raised up to sit with Him. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Who do we become through the love, grace, and mercy of God? We were enemies. We were separated. But we've been reconciled. We've been made children of God. We have become brothers of Jesus Christ. And we are heirs with Him. Now take a deep breath. Is out there, is that really that important? Is that really that big a deal when you consider the eternal things? In verse 7, "In order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." In order that in ages to come, There is going to come a day when the wealth of God, the riches of God, the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God is going to be presented to us. In eternity. I have a picture on my phone. And it's moved up to the very locked picture. Wallpaper. And it's a painting of this girl hugging the neck of someone, and you look at it for a second and you realize that's supposed to be Jesus. And she's just hugging him, and you see her face from this view. His face is behind her face. And you see her just smiling from ear to ear. Her eyes are closed, and she's just like so happy. And the title of the painting is The First Day in Heaven. Google that. You know what? When we get there and we hug him, all of this won't matter anymore. And what will have made that possible? Love, grace, and mercy. What do you think? You think those are beautiful words? We need to think about those words more. We need to think about those words every day. In closing, in Hebrews chapter 4, you may recall this text. The writer says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." That this is a great sermon in and of itself. We've studied it a bit a while back. Won't you think about that? The worst possible day. Everything that just fallen apart in your life. Jesus has been there and done that. And here's the difference. He didn't sin. We do. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. What draws me to Jesus? Well, anyone else that has done something, been through something, and they survived, they came through it, they're still living. Now we're going through it. Do we not look to that person? Do we not talk to that person and say, "How did you get through it? How did you deal with that? Well, what do you do about this? What do you do about that? Man, you came right through that thing. Wow, we admire them." That's the whole point about Jesus Christ in regards to this life, brothers and sisters. And I'm not sure that we really get the point that Jesus really did go through all of the things that we go through. He didn't sin. We do. Therefore, we ought to admire Him and look to Him for our help. Because the text says that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. The spiritual breath that you take when you're going through all the difficulties of life is that you have to look from not in yourself, but you look outward, you look upward to Christ, and it is His love, it is His grace, it is His mercy that allows you to keep on keeping on. The most positive, most encouraging admonition that we can give each other today, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that regardless of who you are, regardless of what you're going through, the same love, grace, and mercy is extended to each and every person. It's available. It's always available. The invitation to obey God is not just a couple of times a week when the preacher extends it. The invitation to God's grace is always. And it is available to any and all that will obey Him. Well, who will follow Jesus? Why would you follow Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? Well, you keep on keeping on, tried to do it without God, not looking to Him, not taking that spiritual breath, and it's just going to kill you. It's just going to kill you. When will we ever realize that we can't do it without Him? When is that going to really become our focus? We cannot do it on our own. And it hurts. It hurts real bad not to have Him in your life. His love and His grace and His mercy. He can give you that peace that passeth all understanding. He can give you that great joy that you will just want to scream out, "Wow, isn't this great?" Do you need to come to God's love, grace, and mercy today? Do you need it in your life? You don't get any special blessings by suffering and dealing with what you're dealing with. Leave it. Follow the Lord. You have that chance today. You have that opportunity today. Don't leave with your miseries. Don't leave with your sins. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Who will follow Jesus?